Alright guys, welcome back to Hip Hop Soiree. You got me, DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And today we're going to talk about social media and the effects that it's had in hip hop. So to give a little backstory, like, there wasn't much influence until we had MySpace, where people were sharing stuff, talking to each other online in a more frequent manner, aside from like MSN Messenger and AOL and all that stuff. And from there, it's just progressively been getting more and more dominant in the entertainment business, from MySpace to Facebook to Twitter, Instagram. And we want to dive into how this has affected hip-hop specifically, and whether there's good, you know, pros to it and cons to it. There always are with any change, and we want to go over that. And for those that, if it's your first time listening, or you maybe missed a few episodes, what we're doing now is we're structuring where we have one episode, we focus on news. The second episode, the episode that follows it, is going to be about a certain theme or genre, or whatever it may be.
A topic or a subject that's very specific.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about social media in hip-hop. So, Poppy, yeah, let's start with you, because you had some stuff you wanted to say that we tried to record that I...
We had some technical difficulties, so we had to like re-record this piece. Yeah. But so, obviously, with the change of social media and how it's affected hip-hop, you remember the 90s and probably the very early 2000s. We obviously mentioned MySpace started roughly mid-2005, maybe a little bit later. And that is when we started seeing kind of the entire music industry, not just hip-hop itself, change and shift. Did you think hip-hop was better as an industry in general, as a fan, before all that? Or do you think it's better or worse now?
It's hard to put a finger on it. The reason I say is because of this. So one thing that social media has done is that it has invited people that are not in the entertainment industry to peek into the lives of artists. And you can see that both is a good and bad thing. And the way I see it is that hip-hop, especially in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, there was a style, there was a way of being that people associated hip-hop with. Like, oh, they're these kids that are from poor places that got up, that they're gangbangers, that they're all this other like bad stigma and stereotypes, and they kind of always had that with hip-hop artists because that's what they talked about. That's what they, quote-unquote glorified, and that's all they knew. And so they thought, maybe this person is like this 24/7. With social media, what has happened is it's given us an opportunity to look into the lives every day, you know, with Snapchat, with Instagram, because they're posting pictures. And I think what's happened with hip hop and what's made it a lot more popular now is because now they don't have that stigma as much anymore. They see all these rappers who, you know, claiming thug life and all this stuff. But when they see what they're doing on an everyday basis, it's not that. And so they think, oh, this guy's not like the persona that he is when he raps. And so I like this person, so I'm going to follow him and listen to them more. So I think it's broken down barriers with hip-hop so that they're more personable. You know, these people that are in the, I guess, quote-unquote, like, higher class, or in this little percentage of people that make it big and entertain for a living. But I also think what it's also done, it's also shown that a lot of hip-hop artists aren't as bad as they say or think they are. And so that's kind of my whole thing. I think it's just made things clear. It's breaking down these barriers of what we think they are versus how they really are.
I'd agree. I think that there's a level of transparency, whether they wanted it or not, that's there, that wasn't there before, right? There's a certain amount of mystery behind back in the 90s when internet wasn't necessarily as readily accessible to everyone, and people weren't putting all of their personal stuff online. So yeah, I think that it's changed it. I don't know, from a music industry perspective, I go both ways. I mean, it's made it better in the sense that it's more easily distributed and it's more easily accessible. But on that same token, because it's so easily distributed and accessible, it's hard to even digest certain albums or music, because the moment I finish one, now I've got five more I got to listen to, or I feel like I got to listen to because I want to listen to them, right? So just, it feels like it's overwhelming. When back in the day, what I remember is an album would come out and you would talk about it for months on end until the next big album came out or whatever. You'd maybe have a couple that would come out at a time. So I think with that, now we can dive in kind of the specifics on how it's affected it, why we think it's affected it that way. And maybe we'll start with that first off with like sales and distribution. So what have you noticed?
So first of all, sales have plummeted. Regardless of what anyone says, they have plummeted physical sales and even digital sales. And that has to do with a lot of different factors. But one is like they want people to listen to them as much as possible. And a lot of people aren't making CDs that much. You know, they're going straight to just like singles and distributing them on Spotify. And then, you know, sharing those Spotify playlists to other people. And they're sharing it on their Twitter. So like if... I know you don't use social media that much or at all, Poppy, but like in Instagram, like sometimes when they're listening to something on Spotify, they have a little story they'll put on, I'm listening to this on Spotify. And so that's another way of promoting. Like, hey, listen to this. And then they make contracts with Spotify, with Google Play, and with Apple Music, whatever, so that every time someone streams it, they get a portion or percentage of sales or whatever, however they count it. So it's really interesting because I feel like this happening, like you're talking about, like we had time to digest before songs and we appreciated when an album came out from an artist that we liked. But now, like, because of social media, because of the everything being so easily and readily available, they get mad if you go a year without coming out with an album.
Yeah.
Like J. Cole, I think a few years back, he's like, he really doesn't like social media in the sense that, you know, to have like a really good album, you wanna do the album, tour, promote it, after you've done all that, then start working on the next one. Or even during the tour, like you can start working on stuff here and there.
Some just inspiration for sure.
Solid foundation. So 2-3 years was normal. And he's like, now like people are impatient. They think like you're off the board. You're no longer on the grid anymore if you wait a year before you have a next single out. And he's like, he doesn't like that because that makes you rush production and makes you rush what you want to say in your message. And ultimately, if you do come out within the time that your producers or your agents want you to, it's not going to be the product that you wanted, but you're getting it out because people are, their attention span has gone smaller and smaller. And
that's sad. Unfortunate. Yeah. And back to your point. So you were mentioning what's called streams, right? There's Spotify, there's Pandora, there's Tidal, there's Google Music Play. I even think that now YouTube.
You have YouTube Music.
Record, yeah, it has music and the streams or the plays works towards the streaming. So even from record sales perspectives, which is where I think the numbers are kind of fudged. And I'm not taking credit away from anyone that's been successful in today's era, right? But if you think about how many people had access to the internet in the mid-2000s compared to now that we're reaching 2020, like it's probably, I don't know the math behind it, but I'd be comfortable in saying that it's more than quadrupled in size, right? So if it went, that's just easy math, 100 million people, now 400 million people have access to it. So that means you have a greater market space to share your music with. So naturally, your numbers could be higher than what they were back in the 2000s. I'm just putting that out there as a thought process. So platinum records, it would be if you sold 1 million records. Now I don't even know how you get the platinum record anymore. I know it's based off of streams now. I think that's exclusively what they use, Billboard or whoever. But I don't know if it's, I think, every 100 plays or streams equal one record sale.
It might be.
It's something like there's some sort of algorithm that they've discovered or that they've chosen to use. It's arbitrary, quite frankly, in my opinion. But I liked the concept of buying albums. In fact, I had a couple, CDs that I'd buy. I probably want to get back into it. A buddy of mine used to have his entire room. He'd put like nails in the wall and just put the CDs on it, like sitting on them.
Okay, that's cool.
And he had a full wall. And about 5 years ago, he had a second wall completed because he'd buy albums from like artists that he absolutely loved, like 50 Cent, pretty much anyone from G-Unit, Rock Nation. He had Eminem, Nas albums. So just he had his room full of that. And I thought it was pretty cool. There's that kind of tangible, I don't know, it's different holding a CD. And maybe it's just because we grew up in that time. So there's that sense of nostalgia. But streaming it isn't the same. It doesn't feel as personal. Like, you don't physically invest into it. So I think that you even lose, to your point, I mean, if an artist doesn't put out anything within even a couple months, that artist is now dead to you, right? That there's the concept of falling off, which is maybe something I want to do an episode, by the way, on people that have fallen off and even made comebacks. But, you know, that concept's always thrown around. Oh, they've fallen off. Why? Because they haven't made something in a whole year?
That's normal. That yeah, that's used to be normal. Normal.
Yeah. So I think the digesting part of it is the biggest piece for me. I've ranted many times on our episodes about how Kanye put out 7 tracks on an album, right? He had his last album being Ye. Now he's going to put out Jesus is King. So I want to see what that album's like. I'm actually very excited for it because Ye disappointed me, the last album. But he also influenced Nas, and Nas's album was 7 tracks. He had a heavy hand in Pusha T's. That was 7 tracks. Mm-hmm. I don't care for Kid Cudi, but on Kid Cudi's album, that was 7 tracks as well. I can't be mad at Kanye because his idea is, well, if the kids aren't going to listen to a full 20-track album, there's no sense in me making that many tracks. So it makes sense, but it bothers someone like me. I love sitting and listening to at least minimum 13 good tracks.
Well, here's the thing, though, with albums that I've seen a decline in is that when they have time to really invest and to put like their heart and soul into their songs, you get so many different layers and emotions in each album, and sometimes there's a theme throughout the album, and you can tell sometimes like they made this song specifically for a single because it has like these certain things that you can put on a checklist. It has all this stuff, and so I'm gonna put it here as a single. But that single doesn't really is not an example of the entire album. The album could be a whole lot deeper, but they're just to promote the album. They have a single to get you introduced to it, and now it's not like that anymore. CD now is basically now a compilation of the singles they've made in the past few years. So there's nothing really new now. So that's also like, why are you going to buy the CD more if you have all those songs already? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, the accessibility piece of it. I mean, I don't know. You can stream it. You don't have to take up physical space at all. It's just all on this digital platform that you can pull at the press of several buttons, virtual buttons, so to speak, on your touch phone.
And then I talked about this before, but like when Migos came out, the album, they had like, what, 20 songs or whatever? I
think it was like 22.
And out of those, there were maybe three that were like, okay, I could listen to it maybe again. And all the rest were trash. So now you also have where if they do put out a lot of quantity in their albums, the quality of the songs that are not singles aren't as good. So it's just like, it's a huge mess in terms of like coming out with actual albums. And I think there's actually some artists that are straying away from making albums completely. So I'm going to take this artist, for example, he's not a rapper, but he's into reggaeton. So Daddy Yankee. Daddy Yankee last album was, oh my God, I can't remember.
It was 7-8 years ago.
Yeah. And he has said a few years back that he was working on a new album. It's been that long. He has not made. He's come out with tons of songs that he could make an album, but he hasn't.
Yeah,
that's, I mean, I don't know reasons why, but
effort and the so artists, you would typically, not all of them, right? But I think most of them really enjoy the art of it, right? It's their thing. It's I sacrificed years of being broke, of putting it all on the line. Living with roommates or home, whatever the case may be. They put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, to be able to express their emotions in this music platform. And that goes for all artists, not just hip-hop. And now if you're thinking of, well, if the general population is not going to accept a full album and really digest it the way I want them to, really sit down and absorb the emotion in it, really get invested in it like they used to back in the day, and I still reap more money just making this way, then, you know, as Joey's Badass said, you know, money is the root to all people. So they just want to follow the money. They need money, and you can't knock anyone for that. We need to make money. So I'm not going to spend all this time making an album to hopefully please a lot of fans when they're just going to be like, eh, on to the next one in a snap.
That's not worth the investment.
That's my point.
No, it makes sense. And I think that's where we can also talk about the shift in what's important for the music for the song to be successful, because now it's changed. Because before, like, when you think about MTV, MTV has also changed drastically. Like, they used to have all these different programs like that making the music video, where they went behind the scenes of a world premiere video that they were going to show exclusively on MTV. And people were, like, way excited for that. They can't wait what they're going to do in this video. And that was a promotion. Like, let's get the music video out, and then we can have the single out on the radio. Now it's, like, now it's changed. Like, they music videos come out on YouTube, like, whenever. There's not really huge promotions to it. A lot of them, they release, like, an audio track on YouTube or on Spotify or a sample of it to, like, promote it. So there's been a change in what they're focusing on to promote the song. And then the marketing to make the song popular has also changed very drastically. So one thing that I actually want to talk about is a lot of people try to put, like, a gimmick or something on it to attach it to, so that people, like, want to talk about it, even if the song is mediocre. So, like, my prime example is the mannequin challenge. So Ray Schremer, I always say the name, whatever it's called. They came out with the song Black Beetle, and that song is, it's not really that good. And the only reason it got huge and it was on number one for, like, 23 weeks was because of the mannequin challenge that isn't even in the music video. I don't even know how it started.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that this is the interesting thing of social media now.
Yeah.
Someone, somewhere, to your point, it wasn't in the music video, decided that as the music played, they'd have this whole group of people stand still like a mannequin, and the person with the camera would walk around, so you get to see, like, these weird angles of people standing still. Well, that caught on. That was viral. People were like, oh, this is cool. We're going to do it now. It's no different than, like, when planking was a thing many, many years ago. Yeah. No different than, there are so many. The ice bucket challenge. Yeah. Just all those things that catch on. This is exactly what happened.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, let's put this music on there. And he had even, like, Paul McCartney who did it. Like, what? And that caught people's attention, and it made people listen to it. And that's why it became a number one song.
To be fair, it was called Black Beetle, and Paul McCartney was a Beatle. So,
but if you listen to the song, it's not anything good. Another big one was Drake's. So the Kiki Challenge.
The Kiki Challenge was a big one.
Like, that was a big one, but that also caused tons of problems because people would crash their cars.
Dumbasses.
And it was just fun, but that caught on. Like, honestly, I don't think Drake didn't need that. But
he didn't need that publicity, but it just happened.
Yeah, it just happened. Someone put that and they made this challenge. This isn't a rap song, but the Harlem Shake became number
one. That's the one I was thinking of.
Or number one, and it's like 30 seconds. They're like, what? It's, really?
Yeah, they would do like nothing. They'd be just kind of chilling. And then when the beat drops hard, they would all do like crazy dance and it would like cause chaos. And it's funny because that artist got sued because it was sampled from Hector El Fadel, who was a reggaeton artist, which we need to talk also about how Spanish music is now just blown out of proportion. It really has. But long story short, it almost backfired on him. I mean, it really backfired on him. It got so big that the record label noticed, okay, now we're going to get money off this Harlem Shake thing, and they sued the guy and won, clearly. Yeah. But you mentioned a really good point, like this whole, they have these gimmicks, and I'm going to get political for a moment. It's known that I don't like country music, and for various reasons, some of it musicality and a lot of it history. Country music, known to some, maybe not others, actually started off as a strictly black music genre. They created kind of the sound, and then it got taken over, and we all know what demographic, and it's Caucasian, and I'm not hating white people for it. I'm just saying that is legitimately the history behind it. That happened the same with rock and roll. Elvis Presley kind of took over, and it became kind of this white genre. It used to be black. And this is where hip-hop enthusiasts or purists, and I'm not going to say I'm a complete purist, but I do have elements of pure hip-hop, like things that I love, is where you kind of start seeing these individuals because of social media, like this Bad Baby Girl. And I don't even want to say her name because I hate promoting people like this. And I don't hate her because she's white. I've given much credit to Eminem. In fact, Eminem is in my top 10 favorites of all time. But I think he understands and respects the genre. Someone like Bad Baby does not. They're capitalizing off of it just because they can. And I think they're ruining the music. And that's where people like me or people like Ebro, Charlamagne, Peter Rosenberg, like we get upset that this is kind of affecting, and I think it's creeping that way, and it's bothering me. And I have conspiracy theories about it, and I'm happy to do an episode on my conspiracy theories. But I'll leave it at that. I think that's the other issue that I have with what it is now today. I'll use Lil Pump as an example. He put out an album. I guess it made platinum. He's like, no, that makes me the biggest artist out right now. No, it fucking doesn't. I don't know anyone that's listened to your album. And I know a lot of people that love hip hop. And it's probably not good. I'll give it a chance. I'll listen to it. I don't think it's going to be good. And I don't know. It's created this weird mindset. And it's not that that mindset didn't exist before. But now millions of people can see it.
Yeah. And
it's watered down, I think. No, that's unfair. I don't think it's watered down the talent. I think it's allowed not very good artists to rise to the top, to be promoted by these record labels. But it's also given me access to people that are superbly talented that aren't really recognized. So that's the other piece where I think it's really, really good.
Yeah, and I think all of these subjects that we're touching on, they're double-edged swords. They have a lot of bad and a lot of good that come with them. And one that you were talking about is nowadays with social media, it's given a lot of people chances to be recognized whether or not they deserve it. But just because of something that they do, and then like if they do something that involves them showing like them rapping over something, like it might cause them to get attention from a record label or whatever it be. There was this the rapper Dino Saweetie.
Yep.
So she talked about it. She's a really pretty woman, and so she had a lot of followers because of that. And then when Instagram in the early days, like your story I think could only be like 10 seconds. And sometimes she'd do like verses on her Instagram story. It'd only be 10 seconds, and she'd do little bits and pieces here and there. And she said like she always wanted to be a rapper, but because of her followers that followed her for just one reason that wasn't for rapping, they had more followers be like, hey, she listens to this girl who does these rapping in her Instagram stories, and that caused a stir, and it caused her to meet with her now manager. And to put out stuff that she wants to do for a long time. So like in those cases, like it does help, because there are people who, you know, in the industry it says it's not about how good you are, but it's who you know. And that's true. Like you can be like the best prolific rapper of our time, but if you don't know the right people, if you're not promoting yourself, or just because of circumstances you can't do that, you're never going to be noticed. And so social media has given a platform to these people. Granted, it's given a platform to a lot of other people who aren't that good.
Yeah, but it's allowed the individual success of other artists who may not be discovered otherwise.
Yeah, and so that's really cool. I actually like that. I mean, it's kind of made me want to dive more into like, well, let's see who other people are buzzing about, like at least in Instagram or on Facebook or in Twitter, because that's its own separate like community that might have famous people there that are trying to venture out to get a record from this record label or wherever it may be. And so I think actually one time, I think it'd be worth us going through that and finding people that way to be like, let's see who's Twitter's talking about that's not a big celebrity and hear and find out why. Because when we talked about our Korean episode, they have that as well. They have their own, they say underground hip-hop community where they share people who are really, they think are really good, and that's how a lot of people find these artists, because they hear this buzz in this underground, which isn't public, and so that's how they find the talent.
Yep, and that leads me to my next point that I think has been kind of ruining the music industry specifically, and obviously hip-hop, but I'm going to generalize it to the music industry, is the monopolization of it all, and how... So you mentioned individual artists, so... MySpace allowed a lot of individual artists to be recognized. I'm sure many were promoted through Facebook. SoundCloud obviously was a big movement. So guess who's missing out on some money? These record labels. So they may cut deals, and now Apple stepped in, and I actually believe... Some people that know me personally know I don't care for Apple. I don't care for them as a corporation. They do offer phenomenal products, don't get me wrong. But as a corporation, they bother me. And this is one of the strict reasons. They started having the whole artist exclusivity concept. They started monopolizing music, which means unless you had Apple, you couldn't listen to this artist, which bothered me. So that's why sometimes I'm not going to say anything to indict myself, but I understand piracy, okay? I think that artists like to, but again, back to money, the record label would hold exclusivity, sell that exclusivity right to Apple or now other entities, and the money would be bigger because now they want that person to draw more people to them. So it's I think really I think that's a part that's been ruined.
Yeah.
Now it can't be distributed now to everyone. So unless I'll use Jay-Z as an example. He has Tidal. I have the Tidal app. I like it because it has a lot of Spanish and hip-hop, which are the two things I really like to listen to. My brother has the Spotify, but the family account, so I have Spotify as well. And it's funny because now I see the individual exclusives on both. Kanye used to be exclusive on Tidal, and I remembered when he released St. Pablo, The Life of St. Pablo. It was only there for a couple weeks before it was even released anywhere else. And then they sold tickets to his concert and tour there before they even released it. So it was interesting to see that and Kanye is unique because he wants everyone to experience his music at the same time. He doesn't like that exclusivity, find a loophole in his contract. So now he can distribute his music more equally and even. But I agree with that concept. I think that a true artist really wants everyone to be able to experience it regardless of the platform you invest in.
I think it's a slap in the face and to people nowadays when you don't put it on streaming. I mean, regardless if you don't like it that it's on streaming, like, but that's the norm now. Like you said, there's not a lot of people buying CDs.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, how convenient is it that in my pocket,
yeah,
I have access to thousands of hours of any type of music I want.
And I don't have to buy it.
No. In fact, this is the other piece. I think that this is the good piece. I've discovered so much, even in the last 2 months, just even at work, I'll play it in the background as noise to kind of work through things, and I've really listened to some albums that have been killer, and to my point, I know I mentioned that I want to do like a People's Champ and MVP of the Year. I had one in mind. I won't mention to spoil it, upon the last 2 months of discovering other new artists, even by listening to just one album, because I think it's so rare to have such a good album, there are now two other people that I'm considering that top someone who I was for sure, this is going to be my MVP of the year.
Dang.
And I don't know. So that piece I love.
Yeah. And it sucks when artists try to go against it and for lack of a word, in a greedy way because of exclusivities. Because kind of to branch off that exclusivity on only being streamed or played on a certain platform has also affected other stuff. So for example, like we're gamers, and now there are games that are exclusive, either timed or are time exclusives that's supposed to be for all the consoles. And either whether it's for a year or maybe they have or they have just content that is exclusive to this console. Like, it's getting ridiculous what they're doing here. In regards to the ones, to the artists who like are locking their music from other people, it reminds me of Taylor Swift. I know she's not a hip-hop artist. She's had hip-hop artists in her songs, but I guess how I tie into here. But she, for the longest time, was like, no, you can't listen to my stuff on Spotify because she wasn't seeing the money that she wanted. And yeah. So she held off. She's like, no, I'm not going to stream it. She was a huge advocate of like, no, you're not going to stream it. You have to buy everything.
Well, back to my point. So I know I always like promote Jay-Z, which is fine. But this is – I'm going to knock on him right now. That's one thing I don't like about him. Other than his Reasonable Doubt album, because it has Dame Dash as showing like part owner of it, all of his other albums are only exclusively in Tidal, which bothers me because I want people to listen to some of his stuff so I can talk about it. But he won't release it on anything else because he has Tidal. He has the exclusive rights on Tidal. And he's unique because he doesn't need the money and he doesn't need the notoriety at all, obviously. He's valued at $1 billion and he's Jay-Z. Who doesn't know who he is if you don't know about hip-hop?
Yeah.
So that frustrates me because I have some people who only have Spotify. They don't have Tidal. And they're not going to buy a music app for $10 a month just to listen to a couple of his albums.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the other piece. Because you can't even find it on YouTube because they have the copyright issues.
Yep.
I'm sure you can pirate it. I don't promote it. Maybe, maybe not. piracy is an interesting thing. But I'm beating a dead horse at that point. But that's one of the things. And I wanted to talk about one more piece of how social media has affected hip-hop.
Sure.
But I don't know if you had other
The only other thing that I wanted to bring up is the whole thing about going viral.
Okay.
Because I think that has the first hip-hop artist who will claim that will be Soulja Boy, that he
Fuck
was the first
him.
One.
I don't even want to talk about him. I hate promoting, I mean, I don't like promoting hate, but I also don't want to promote people whom I don't really like.
Yeah, I don't like Soulja Boy either, but I mean, that was his sense like that because that blew up on MySpace. Is why he's saying it went
the Soulja Boy dance, the Soulja Boy Superman, dance, that yeah, hoe, whatever.
So that is also has been a thing. Like, if there's something in the video or something that makes that artist go viral, it automatically boosts sales up or streams. Stream plays up, whatever. I don't know how you're counting this, but so it the viral thing is kind of interesting too. Like, because that's another component that a hip hop artist or their manager has to consider. Like, okay, what can we do? What can we release that will promote the album, but not really promote the album type of stuff? So it's so interesting because now it's become more intricate and more complex than simply having the artist go on a radio station or go on TV on a late night show to promote their album or tell them to go watch MTV to watch the making of music video. Now it's like, you have to do all these little things here in social media. Maybe do this on Instagram because it doesn't work on Facebook, or do this on Twitter because it doesn't work on Instagram, or do this on Snapchat and you'll get big. Like, that's I think that's a big success to DJ Khaled is because he's always on Snapchat. He's always doing all these, like, you might think it's stupid, and I think he does a lot of stupid things in there, but people like it, and that makes him, hey, I can't wait for his next song to come out when he doesn't do much and just say his name and say that he made the beat. But it's just interesting now how the marketing is, and the whole viral thing has changed how we even want to listen to songs, because it might not even deal with the song. It's just something they did, and that makes us want to go listen to it.
Yeah. So my other piece was for sure the beef portion of it all.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, because it's completely changed. And I'm going to say it's changed for the absolute worst.
Yeah.
It's the absolute worst. And I like spreading my enthusiasm for hip hop. And I'm fine. I enjoy the concept of disagreeing on things. I think that's absolutely fine. I do have a hard time, and I've said it many times before, with someone who I feel is ill-informed in the genre, making or stating opinions and dismissing other people's opinions. Because much like any other topic, being video games, the nerd community with like comic books or movies of saying, no, this one's better for this reason or this. Sometimes it can be enjoyable, like friendly banter, right?
Yeah.
You just kind of agree to disagree. Same with hip hop. I enjoy that piece of it. But then other people kind of frustrate me. Not to the point where it ruins my day. But I'm just like, ugh, you don't know what you're talking about, so go away. Like, if someone tells me, and I've heard this before, that P. Diddy is one of the all-time greats, you can go to hell. No. Even if you, like, because A, that means two things. If you truly listen to hip-hop constantly, you don't know what you're listening to. Or you don't listen to hip-hop at all. You just see him as a big figure and you think he is a great hip-hop artist. No, he's a great businessman, and that's where it stops. I actually think he ruined hip-hop single-handedly. But that's another story for another time. So back to beefs. It's kind of like, the fans have always been a part of beefs. That's kind of who helps decide who wins, so to speak. But now it's heavily influenced by like memes, or you'll find something. So you almost just kind of roast without music. And that pisses me off. No, I want put it on a track and I want to hear it. And back in the day, it was different because let's say someone would beef with 50 Cent. And it wasn't them immediately jumping to Instagram or to Twitter or Facebook to talk shit on him. They're going to go right to the studio, write whatever they want to against him, and then release it. So it becomes a battle of words strictly in music, as opposed to, oh, I'm going to show you this meme of this person. I don't know. It's completely made it terrible, in my opinion.
I think it's affected the hip-hop artists as well. Like, the whole thing with Meek Mill and Drake, it started with a tweet.
So stupid.
What happened? He started with a tweet, and then Drake went and made a diss song. And then after that, what did Meek Mill do? He sent out another tweet. And then after that, Drake made another song. And that's when finally Meek Mill went and
produced. And it was too late.
Yeah.
And honestly, as far as content, look up All The Way Up Remix with Meek Mill, Fabolous, and Jadakiss. And frankly, from a lyrical perspective, it was too late. So timing was part of it. Meek Mill was much better than Drake. Drake just made the better song, so to speak, right? Like back to back.
He made.
Just,
this
I
is the
know,
funny
just,
thing. This is also the funny thing about beefs is that beefs had like this tone, this in their songs that it was like, it's not a single. It's like this song is directed to you.
It's straight and aggressive.
Drake didn't do that. That's why Drake was like, You're playing back to back in a song in a club? Are you kidding me? God. You don't do that.
I remember at Halloween being in a club with some friends, and they play. I'm like, you're fucking kidding me? They're playing a. Would you ever hear Ether or Toy Soldiers from Eminem at the club? No, because it's not meant to be a song you dance and like have fun to. It's meant to be like, holy shit, he's going after him, or she's going after her, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's opened up kind of the opinions and everyone jumps in, which is like what we're doing now, which is absolutely fine, but it's watered it down, and I think it's absolutely absurd. And to that point, I think because the reach is bigger now and all these people are able to comment on it instead of just having a conversation like you and I are having, it frustrates me because then people are like, oh, Meek Mill didn't want anything from Drake because Drake slaughtered him. I mean, I guess, but you clearly don't. You didn't hear anything of Meek's. Back then, you had to listen to both sides. And I've talked about this before. KRS-One, I think it was on Sway in the Morning, was kind of talking about the histories of beef and how up until probably mid-2000s, funny enough, before social media, if two artists were really going at it, whoever would quote-unquote be the winner of the entire beef would gain some of the fans of the person who lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who lost would then just either join the squad or even just obviously be like, you know what, it's fine, the beef's now over, you won type of thing.
Yeah, and that hasn't happened. And it's funny, like, all the beefs that have happened, they feel like they used to be like some, not say dramatic, but like one, like you said, there's a final blow from one of the artists that made people go, oh yeah, this guy, he won it.
He got it.
But now it's just kind of, they all fizzle out. The Meek Mills and Drake one kind of fizzled out.
They're weaker now.
Yeah. Meek Mills thing came out too late. And so did Drake really respond? No. And it just kind of just went away. With Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly, Eminem came out with one that he just put like a line in talking about Machine Gun Kelly. Machine Gun Kelly did Rap Devil. Then Eminem did Killshot. And all Machine Gun Kelly says like, oh, that was a shot to the leg. And it just fizzled out. Yeah, he didn't do anything else.
No, there's no definitive end to it.
Yeah, and so it's that kind of frustrates me. So I'm like, come on, I want to see more. Like, and when you say that after just a response saying like, oh, it didn't hurt me that much, I didn't feel like the need to go back in there. It's like, you need to. That's the whole part of the beef. You need to tell everyone you're clearly the winner.
Yeah, the game took his beef more seriously with Meek Mill than Drake did.
Yeah.
And no one even really talked about the game beefing with Meek Mill. 92 bars, that goes hard. That's a diss song, and you don't play that at the club. No one's going to dance to that. You just sit back and listen to every insult that he's throwing at Meek Mill. And that's – where was I going with this? The beefing is just –
it's just not – it's not as intense or as frequent – or as, I want to say publicized. It's not as public as before.
No.
Because they don't really do it. And I think it has to do with the artists that have come up in the past few years. They're not, they don't have the talent to write those type of songs either.
Oh, that's where I was going with it. You're right. They don't have the talent to because they didn't battle in the streets like they used to. Like, no. I know in the South and in Cali and in New York or in the East Side, you kind of battled. That's how you got people to be like recognizing, oh, who's this guy? Who's this guy? You had to go to different several areas and do either freestyling or just battle other MCs to kind of gain territory or just, again, be recognized. And the beefs are weaker and because social media has now – what's the greatest thing on social media people love doing? Crying about shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not politically correct, which is another – episode we're going to be doing, but you almost can't even insult as hard as you used to because people are going to start calling you out like, oh, that crossed the line. Like how, like Sheether, she caught a lot of flack for saying a lot of terrible shit about Nicki Minaj. What did you expect? This is what the hip-hop culture has always been about. You go for the jugular.
Mm-hmm.
There's no holds bar. You just say what you want as long as you can stand behind it. Where it sucked that Remy Ma had to almost justify what she said and basically issue an apology. That pissed me off. I'm sorry Minaj got slaughtered and her fans were upset that Remy Ma said controversial things. That's fucking... I don't get it. I don't understand the political correctness in hip-hop. That's stupid. Absolutely stupid.
Nah,
that's the part I think that bugs me the most.
Yeah, I think they... that again, that's a whole other issue. That's a whole other topic that we talk forever about. But yeah, that has also played a huge part in beefing, because now you got to be like, well, what can I say that can insult this person but not insult the rest of the people or take offense to that? Which is like, that doesn't make sense. How that an insult is supposed to be that? An insult.
And there's like even other aspects of it. And it happened, I think, last year. I don't even remember the song. I don't remember the artist. I don't even remember exactly the line, but the line is insinuated. It basically, in a nutshell, I've got Jewish money, meaning I have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, that blew up saying that's anti-Semitic. I'm like, if anything, it's a good shout out saying that the Jewish culture is very successful. And I mean, maybe I guess it could offend someone who's Jewish and poor. But I mean, I don't see how that's truly anti-Semitic. But LeBron James quoted that in like an Instagram post or Twitter. And he had to go back and apologize and say, you know, I wasn't trying to be anti-Semitic. I respect Jewish people and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, God, are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? It pissed. That shit just bothers me. And that's why I choose not to really have social media.
No, that stuff that just makes
drives
sense.
Me insane.
Yeah, it's just it's polluted. All that stuff. All like, of Twitter.
If you want to not agree with that, it's fine. Then don't listen to it. That's the best way to not promote it, is don't listen to it. I'll be listening to it. But you can choose not to. If the majority of people won't listen to someone, that person's going to fall off because there's no money in it.
So I guess now let's – here comes like the final question. So overall, like I said, there's every subject that we touched upon has a double-edged sword – is a double-edged sword because it's pros and cons. But overall, do you feel that hip-hop has made – that social media has made hip-hop better or worse?
Such a – hard question. It's a fully loaded question. I want to respect and enjoy the talents whom you think would typically go undiscovered. However, given their talents, I think most, if not all, of whom I'm enjoying and discovering now would find some relative success, and I would hear about them eventually. So, and then the people like the Lil Pumps wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And that's not a direct shot at Lil Pump, but that's just the reality of what it is. So I'm going to go with it's ruined it. I preferred it back in the day without the involvement of all this social media.
I would go with that too. I think there's too many negatives versus the pros to it.
It's diluted it. Mm-hmm. It's made it more censored, which is completely opposite of what it stands for. And I don't know. It's ushered in such an odd, and then not to mention the conspiracy theories I have yet to divulge, but... It's ruined it. I wouldn't say it's completely ruined it. I'm saying it's nowhere near as good as I felt it could be.
Yeah.
Again, artists are putting out some phenomenal music. I just think in general and how it's being utilized or exploited, it's just worse off than what it was before.
I think it's overshadowed by a lot of gimmicky things. That's what social media has done. It's made hip-hop a little bit more gimmicky and more... I don't want to say easier to relate to, but that's the only thing I could think of. It's easier to relate to because the artist is easier to relate to, and so it's not off-putting as some people might have thought 10, 20 years ago when they think it's this stigma, it's this type of people that listen to it. It's like, oh, anyone can listen to it.
It's moved away from the music.
Anyone, and saying like anyone could make the music, which also like for one every good artist, you have like 500 bad ones, and of those, a lot of them get picked and not the good one because of something that they do that's gimmicky.
And that's so fucking sad. But mm-hmm. It's what I'm sure other genres may experience that too. I've actually heard some country fans bitch about the state of like what country music is now. And I know rock is another one where people are like the quality of rock music. And there's like 80 different subcategories of rock. So I'm not very familiar with that genre. But
it's even where rock is now in music because it's all but gone, which is sad. And what they... state is rock now is not even a shell of what it was 10, yeah. 15 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, then yeah, that's a whole other thing that we'll probably talk about later, or maybe I'll talk about it later on I'll make a rock podcast soon. but yeah, oh, so I wasn't able to find two songs to recommend. I do have the one though. It actually came out a few weeks ago. Let's see here. I have never listened to this person, and I haven't listened to any of their stuff right now, but it's from an artist called Dreamville.
Okay.
He came out with a new song called Under the Sun with J. Cole, DaBaby, and Loot.
Dreamville, I believe, is the whole squad.
Is that the whole squad?
Yeah.
Okay. It said featuring, so that's like...
Oh, did it? It said Dreamville featuring?
It says Dreamville Under the Sun featuring J. Cole, DaBaby, and Lute.
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure Dreamville's like their whole movie. It's like Wu-Tang Clan featuring like Ghostface Killah and all that.
Do they say that now on like their video? On like, their...
I've seen it at least on the title app. They go like Wu-Tang and then it says featuring Raekwon, Ghostface. I'm like, well, they're both part of Wu-Tang, but I don't know. It could be an artist. I'll stand correct, but go ahead.
I'll double check that. Maybe it is.
I'll look it up right now. Go ahead.
It might be, but anyway, I actually really liked that song. I liked the...
What's it called?
It's called Under the Sun.
Under the Sun?
Yeah. But if Dreamville, if that's all of them that...
Yeah, Dreamville Records. It's just J. Cole's label.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a song you should go check out, though. That's a new one. Either way, it's a new one. It's really interesting. It has like a... I want to say it's like a 60s or 70s sample of a song. And I don't know the song. But it's just really interesting. It's a very... kind of stripped down song. It just really just caught my attention. They're just talking about the life there. And I like that because J. Cole will, he'll influence whoever he's with, if it's his song or, again, if it's his label, to stay on those subjects. And I think he's picky on who he'll feature on. Maybe not so much of who they ask him to feature, but if he wants someone to feature, he wants someone that can...
He has a very strong creative control on his music, and it shows. But that's kind of what really makes him really, really great.
Yeah, and DaBaby actually did pretty good in this one.
Yeah, okay. Mine would be by a female rap artist named Rapsody, and it's not spelled the conventional way. It's Rapsody. She's one of the people that I've discovered like recently, and the album I think released on the 23rd of August. But it's called Eve is the album. Check it out. I think from beginning to end, I can listen to every track. But it's the second track. It's called Cleo. And every track is listed after like a strong black woman character, whether fictional or otherwise. Cleo is the Queen Latifah character from someone at work told me. I was like, I forgot. I've seen the movie, but I don't really care for it. Set It Off. I almost said Step Up, but that's a completely different movie.
Is that?
She has like she wears the plaid shirts that are like baggy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's based on like, it's named in that character's namesake. But it's about like empowerment of the artists and kind of the industry, which kind of ties into what we were talking about and how the record labels have changed and what it's like now. And then she obviously being a female artist kind of equates to how if you're a female artist, they expect you to, because she's not scantily clad. She's not your typical what you think like a Minaj who over sexualizes everything. She's very much about the craft. Fantastic album. Excellent song. I think track two is my favorite, Cleo. Ninth Wonder produced it. Huge Ninth Wonder fan for obvious reasons. And sampling is a big thing for me, right? So they sampled Feel It in the Air by Phil Collins.
Oh, really?
And it loops. It's just so damn
good. My brother's going to love that.
Yeah. It's a good song. Cleo.
Okay.
By Rapsody.
Cleo by Rapsody. I'll go check that out, too. All right. Well, that does it for this episode of Hip Hop Soiree. Let us know what you think about social media, if it's good or bad. And give us subjects to talk about. We have our Gmail account, hiphopsoiree2018@gmail.com. Soiree is spelled Soiree. Again, thanks so much for listening. This is DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And this is Hip Hop Soiree.